Welcome to Greenways, a podcast sharing stories and equipping real-world Jesus followers to see the kingdom of God break into the vocational space where they lead.
And welcome to Greenways Podcast. It's great to have you with us. My name's Gareth.
My name's Johnny.
And this is one of our lead out episodes as we think about the Spirit moving in the vocational spaces away from the church.
Before we do that, let's talk a little bit about running. And I have a confession for you, Gareth.
Go for it.
Well, I suppose it'd be worth mentioning, first of all, we were out over a half marathon distance again last week.
Another half marathon?
Yeah, Friday. So that's the third or fourth time I've been out over a half marathon distance, and
you did well this time.
Yeah, thank goodness, because it was a disaster the previous time. But it was the first time I've been over that distance and felt like I had a little bit left in my legs and my engine at the end.
We did miss time the run because we ran from Orangefield Presbyterian Church, thought we had a 13.1 mile route, and came down past the church realising we had another kilometre to do.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
It was horrendous having to do another loop round Orby to make up a kilometre.
But you feel like you've come so far, you just have to see it off. So yeah, that was really good. I really enjoyed it for the first time. I felt like when we went out over that distance before, my petrol light was on well before the end, but no, it felt good. I can't remember if I told you or not. I had a confession.
This is the place to do it with 10,000 listeners. Not quite.
34 listeners. We set off, I don't know, what was it, like 3:30 maybe on Friday?
About four o'clock.
Yeah. Well, about 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
You had a kebab.
I had a pizza from Huckleberry's on the Newton Arts Road. A barbecue chicken pizza, a whole one to myself, and a side of fries as well. So I think I maybe had somewhere in the region of 2,000 calories on board by the time we were setting off. And you know,
possibly not the best calories before, but it seemed to work for you.
It seemed to work. Like I'm thinking it might be my strategy going forward, because the previous times when you were like, have a banana and a handful of nuts, I was gone. 12K.
So Greenways listeners, next time we're out running and Johnny stops to throw up, I'm going to video it and post it for you to see.
Well, there was no vomitus on Friday. I was dry. It was a dry run. So yeah, that was all good. Here, do you know the other thing about running a half marathon, listeners? It gives you a lot more time for conversation. And you talked to me about running questions.
And soul formation while we're running. Yeah. So I have a mentor, a guy who is an older Christian who I hang out with one parameter: help me to get to know Jesus like you do. And he asked me, last time I was with him, he asked me a couple of questions. And I think they're really, really good, terrifying, spiritually forming questions, if you're willing to be honest. Mm. And on a 13-mile run, you have a lot of time to be honest. So here they are. What is the one question you don't want me to ask you about your soul, your faith, your life?
It's a nightmare.
It's a horrendous question. But you know what? If you've got the courage to be honest with somebody about it, it's probably such an acceleration in faith question. So what is the one question you don't want me to ask you? The second question, what is your Achilles heel as a leader? Yep. The two beautifully terrifying, spiritually forming questions.
Yeah. And they just get to the point, don't they, and bring things that in the darkness are enormous and terrifying and crippling. And when they come out into the light, you find that grace tends to just swallow them up. So two really good questions. Now, the million-dollar question that we ask every week: what are we doing today?
What are we doing today? Well, funny, it's about asking good questions.
It is, yeah. So it's a first for Greenways Podcast. So we spoke to Rick Hill, who is a friend of ours. You heard from him about a fortnight ago. And today we have Rick's sister, Judith, who is a broadcast journalist for UTV. So it's an interesting space, I think, to speak to someone who's a Christian and who's working in media. I feel like the mainstream media is a topic of conversation in this moment all the time. And they've had a rough ride probably as well. It's the era of fake news, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and so there's this kind of information overload in our lives a lot of the time. And then there's also a lot of hostility, a lot of anger, a lot of hate in different forms of media. And the phrase that came to my mind, I actually was sort of remembering that line from Spider-Man, you know,
with great power comes great responsibility.
That's the one, yeah, that's the one. I sort of thought, you know, on the one hand, Jesus was the master storyteller, and the stories that he told shaped lives in the pattern of the truth, which was totally amazing. And then on the other hand, I remember Mark Serres talking about mainstream media. Some forms of mainstream media actually being quite spiritually dark. Yep. And he said, you know, when you think of the devil, don't think about horns and cartoons. Think about the Russian campaign of misinformation during the Cold War about what is true, what is right, what is beautiful, what is desirable for society. And so, yeah, these two sides of the coin. And like you say, with great power comes great responsibility. So.
Totally. I'm even thinking of the quote. I can't remember who said it. Johnny will know because he knows these things. It's true, though. It's true.
It might not.
Yeah, we'll see. But if you want to change a culture, tell better stories. Go on, Johnny. You know what?
I don't. I have the same thing written down, and I don't know where it came from. But it's funny. I had the same thing on
so Johnny
on the
Campbell once said, if you want to change a culture, tell better stories.
somebody said, if you want to change the world, then you need to tell a better story of something.
That's it.
It sounds like Crouch or Stanley or
I thought it sounded like
Tyson,
you, but any of those guys would do it. We are really excited to have a friend of ours on. And as Johnny has said, it's a sister of a previous guest. This is Jude Hill, who is a UTV broadcast journalist. You will know her face and her voice from your screens. I first met Jude when she was about 17. She was on a Presbyterian mission team at Market Hill that I was leading. And I got to know her and her cousin and her little brother Rick that year. And it was a real treat. And we're delighted to be interviewing her today. So we'll be back in a second with Jude Hill. And so we're here, Greenways, with Jude Hill, our favourite UTV journalist, probably our favourite journalist of all time. It's great to have you, Jude.
Thank you so much. So good to be here and in person, which is brilliant.
Absolutely. With, you know, just where we are in COVID, seeing people face to face.
Although I still feel like I'm kind of like dressed for work from home. But here we are. It's good to see
That's
you
fine.
Guys.
No, it's all good. Well, listen, with all our guests, we love to start with a little bit of yes, no questions to allow the Greenways listeners to get to know you a little bit. And I'm going to let Johnny kick that off with the favourite question of all time.
Right. You're full of favourites today. Let's start with this. Socks in bed.
Never, except maybe if you're having a siesta where it's slightly acceptable.
Dude hasn't listened to the rules.
So they are yes, no questions.
Okay, it's a giant no for that one then.
with a small exception. Look at the small print there, guys. Yep. What about Rick Hill's running vests?
I'm going to have to, it's going to be family loyalty that's going to win, so I'll go yeah.
Wow, okay.
Coffee after 7 o'clock at night.
No, but I'm not really a hipster coffee fanatic.
Okay, that's cool.
Have you ever swallowed a goldfish?
No.
Are you familiar with a song in Mission Praise called I Hear the Sound of Rustling in the Leaves of the Trees?
I have been very set up in this chat. I am very familiar with that song, yeah.
Why so familiar?
It is a family story. Did Rick do this story or am I not?
Yeah, Rick shared it with us 2 weeks ago.
Teamed me up, so yeah. Rick specifically was very keen on it and I probably egged him on to consistently ask for this very maverick song.
Okay, yep. Cool.
And final question, have you ever said a bad word live on air?
No.
Well done.
I know, it is always the constant fear, but no, it has not happened.
What's your favourite bad word off the air?
No, it's not a yes, no question and we're going to move on.
Okay.
Decent segue.
Okay, well, Jude, this is a first for us today, having a brother and sister combination, because obviously, yeah, we spoke to Rick a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, that's exciting. We wanted to ask you a little bit about your faith journey. So just the who, the what, the where. And then maybe at the end you could tell us a little bit about vocation as well and how you ended up in broadcast journalism. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah. So faith for me was a journey and a story that probably always felt like it was there. Like I can remember back to being under my bed covers with my wee glowworm and, you know, praying.
Oh, glowworms.
Like, do you remember them?
My sister had one of those.
They're so great. So exciting.
Johnny's too young.
People are going to have to Google that and they look like the ugliest little things
weird,
ever.
Weird.
But
prayer glowworm.
No, it's not. It's not unrelated to prayer, but it was just like, it's a little toy and you put it beside a lamp, isn't that right? And then it sort of lights up in the dark.
Why could you squeeze it to lit up?
Well, mine, you just put it beside a lamp.
Maybe I've got that wrong.
Is this something from the early 80s?
It is a peak time.
Definitely.
Glory days of the early
80s. That's it. Yeah. See, when you're working with children, they don't get these things.
You need to Google that one, Johnny. Okay. But anyway, the glowworm is kind of unrelated to the story, but there we are. But yes, just like praying under my bed covers and, you know, talking to Jesus, and that was always just there. And I suppose then teenage years and angst and just working through faith. And journaling was probably a big thing for me at that time, just like writing, you know, stories and kind of journaling my thoughts and just working through, my teenage years, I guess. And then probably a really significant point faith journey wise, looking back, was a gap year I took after uni where I went to the Philippines as part of that and lived. I was going to say worked, but I really didn't do a lot of work, but was in various slum communities in Manila, living with a family for a while in one of those slums. And it was just probably a real point in my life where faith and God's love felt extremely personal to me. And it was a very transformative, eye-opening trip. And I really came home changed from that and very kind of full of purpose and, you know, what can I do? How can I kind of make a difference after that? So that probably led into a time of really exploring that. I also, later that year, I spent time up in North Belfast in Woodvale, which I think we connected at that stage, Johnny.
Right.
And so, yeah, I was part of a summer team there. Then that went on for probably up to 8 summers, and during that time I moved up to that part of
the city.
Yeah, okay. So just was completely transformed by this bunch of young people that I worked with, and I suppose I had come in going, oh, I really want to help out in this community, but actually they really genuinely changed me, and it was just a time of just this raw community of this bunch of interest and maverick, very loyal, honest young people who, some of them were doing faith, some of them were just doing life, and we were all hanging out. And so I ended up moving up there for 2 or 3 years. And again, just very transformative in terms of setting inside me just a passion for Belfast, people, stories that were under the radar, because I suppose at that point it was there were a lot of riots up at Twodell at that point, and you know, some of these young people would have been very aware of that or not slightly drawn in or present in some situations, and just to see beneath the surface actually these young people's heart for their community was very transformative for me. So
I love that line you said, a passion for stories that are beneath the surface. We'll come on to that later on, so we'll,
So I was going to Ballyhome to do PCI outreach teams on the beach, and you were heading up to Torrell Avenue and working with young people on the interface. And
amazing.
It just got me. Yeah, it's a brilliant part of the city, and yeah, just underrated, I think. So yeah, it was definitely a time just that changed me.
Fantastic. And then into UTV, when did that happen?
So a few years after that, I'd been working as a journalist, studied journalism, sort of a gradual kind of evolution of just following, I guess, similar themes, just passion for communicating, chatting to people, hearing stories, and ended up working for a while in a little radio station down in Cookstown, which was a brilliant time as well, although for the first few weeks I got a job without a job interview, so I was a bit shocked and had to start the next day. Didn't have a car at that point, so my mum, bless her, actually drove
to
me
Cookstown.
To Cookstown, I think for maybe a couple of weeks this lasted, and actually hung out in Tesco's car park for several of those shifts, just like waiting for me to finish.
Absolute
shout out to Jane. But yeah, so I worked there for 3 or 4 years, the group our radio group had different radio stations. So I worked for a while in Coleraine and Ballymena, different places. Mm. And then it was around that time that I was just thinking a lot about what stories I wanted to tell as part of my journalism, debate it. Do I stay or go, or are there different avenues? And as part of that, then set up a thing, a movement, a concept called Tell It in Colour, which is about those under the radar stories. So it was a website and different storytelling gigs that were just looking at what are the stories that people don't know about our city and about our communities, and how can we get those out there. And then around that time, I started as a freelancer for UTV. So I'd left the radio station at that stage and started freelancing for UTV. But that, yeah, and then that developed into a full-time job. And I was doing a mix of radio, online, and then eventually I moved into doing TV reporting, which has been brilliant.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Love it. And we love seeing you on the screen. I know you're taking a break from that at the minute. We'll chat about that later on. But with the whole Green West thing, we are passionate about the priesthood of all believers. We believe that kingdom comes not just within the church, but as the church moves out of the building into different vocational spaces, and God shapes people and gives them gifts and anointings for all kinds of vocational roles to be his man, his woman in that place. You're doing that in the journalism space. What excites you? What brings you to life within your vocation?
Such a great question. It goes back to a lot around people's stories and voices, and those who may feel that they're on the edges and not getting a fair hearing. Mm. So I suppose the days where it most comes alive for me is perhaps people who were reluctant or nervous, or, you know, had to clear their throat a lot before speaking, but just to be able to give maybe marginalised groups more of a chance to contribute their stories. So I'm thinking of days maybe where it's, you know, the voices of asylum seekers, or, you know, people living under paramilitary control, people who it costs something for them, you know, to actually speak out. And I suppose you feel them, it's not that you're putting something new out there, but it is just a different flavour, and that it's not just the same old news cycle. Yeah, and just days where people feel heard, and I suppose stories about this place that are maybe leading to more understanding for people. Maybe we don't, understand all the communities here, don't get access, but actually as a journalist you get access to all, you know, communities and people right across Northern Ireland, and I love that. For this, like, it's a massive privilege. So yeah, just that I suppose spectrum, you know, how can we put as many diverse voices out there as possible and reflect actually what is the reality on the ground and not just the same few narrow voices.
It's the preacher in me, but I'm hearing these two amazing biblical threads running through that. One is when we look at the Old Testament especially, but both parts of the Bible, we see a God who has a heart for the stranger, the widow, the orphan, and he tells his people to advocate for them and stand up for them and look after them, and in your role allow their voices to be heard and their stories to be told. And then the other one you said about bringing diverse groups and stories and voices out. And we were on a few weeks ago with Dave and M. Linus talking about hospitality. And journalism in some ways then maybe is a table space of bringing different voices together and different stories together. The people might not necessarily meet, but their stories come together and melt together. I love that. That's amazing.
It's definitely an alternative vision of journalism that people may not be familiar with, you know, but there is that chance. There's so many really strong journalists in Northern Ireland who actually just want to hear people's stories and they want to challenge power, and it doesn't take away from the truth-telling aspect of it, but actually, you know, taking time with people, listening, trying to reflect their story back to them in a way that actually they listen and, you know, connect with and don't feel like the story's been taken from them, but that they've been heard.
I love that.
Have you a hero in broadcast journalism, or is there anybody you've come across in Northern Ireland that you just think there's someone like really inspired me, or?
There are so many just genuine people out there doing a great job. For me personally, I've had the chance to get to know Brian Rowan in recent years. He's like obviously one of our most well-known journalists and now a commentator. But Barney's been brilliant in terms of being very generous to the next generation coming beneath them, and has drawn me into conversations around sort of peace and reconciliation that I wouldn't have potentially had access to. So people, I think, like that, who, you know, have a vision for what's coming next, and maybe are of that troubles generation in terms of the reporting and what they went through, but actually then have a bit of a heart for what's coming next for the place. So I think his insights, and just actually for me, wouldn't call himself a mentor, but I definitely look to him as someone who is like that. Yeah.
Amazing. Do you ever find a moment in work when there's a tension between your faith and your values and what you're being asked to do, or what's the most difficult part of what you do?
I think, like, I don't automatically think of clashes between faith and any story, because I feel very strongly that I'm there to be a storyteller for whoever wants to tell their story, and to reflect whatever views that story needs to make it balanced. So, like, I take impartiality very seriously. I want to be a voice for everyone, and to be able to carry out my role and move between all communities. So I don't feel any clash in that, because it's so important to represent, you know, the breadth of opinions. I suppose probably, like, the stories that are harder are probably the stories that are maybe, you know, more toxic, you know, Northern Ireland type argument, where you're reflecting different views, and you know when you put that story out there, Twitter is going to
stirs up the
meltdown.
Worst in other people, maybe.
And that sort of stirring. And I'm always very careful with my tone with those stories and how to tell them. So it's probably just considerations around that. And also then just stories of real tragedy. Like, obviously that is part of the news. And just those are the days where, like, I have felt physically sick at times going to speak to, you know, a family who's lost somebody potentially that day or the day before, and, you know, being so aware, but, you know, having to ask, do they want to tell their person's story? And the reality is some people actually do, and it helps them. Other people, probably the majority of people, would not want to see you on that day. So I think situations like that, where you do, like, empathy is something that is a big value within what I do. So I take that very seriously, and those are the days that are harder and heavier, and then you carry that with you a bit. So those would be the days that would be a bit more of a challenge.
Jude, this has been great. Listen, we're going to take a little break, and Greenways listeners will be back in a minute to press in a little bit more deeply into Jude's stories and how God is using her. So see you soon. So Jude, I wanted to ask you, as we press a little bit deeper into all of this, you're not a Christian journalist, but you're a Christian who is a journalist. And I suppose my question is, throughout the course of your work, what's your awareness of God's presence, his guidance with you in what you're doing?
I would probably sum it up as being a strong awareness of just feeling my passion for what I do, and my sense of purpose, which is really, really strong and always has been within journalism. I suppose it's probably expanding on some of the stuff we chatted about in terms of who we give voice to and who is heard. And I'm thinking of a trip that I had the opportunity to go on couple of years ago to Cape Town and to the Cape Flats in South Africa. And it was a trip for me that felt divine, because just it was a combination basically of a lot of stuff that really energizes me. So it was a bunch of young people from Belfast, from North and West Belfast, who are involved in cross-community work up through an amazing project called Our City up in the north, at Belfast. And they were going over to the Cape Flats with a random bunch of postgrad students from Queens. And the group kind of coming together was looking at solutions and working with gang members in the Cape Flats. So it was just like so interesting. And there were so many journeys within the local group of students who hadn't even maybe encountered young people from inner city Belfast, and kind of realising actually some of the issues within interface communities. So that was an interesting dynamic. And the young people were being brought over effectively to show the full consequences when gangs and paramilitaries run an area. So there were a bunch of young women who were all very passionate about challenging the paramilitary control that's still a reality in their communities. So it was a trip where they were finding their own voices, and we were there with UTV to basically capture their journey, but then also get an insight into what life was like in the Cape Flats and what just the gangs that really run that place. So it was such... And it was just a brilliant week, and just to see these young women step into themselves and just like their voices just sort of, I don't know, just enlarged as the week went on. So we were interviewing them after their impressions of meeting some of these really young, because kids get into gangs there, you know, from toddler age up practically. That what we interviewed a guy who at the age of five can remember his dad was a gang leader and can remember drugs being stashed in his clothes and even his diapers at an early stage, and he had gone on to be a gang leader. And we interviewed this guy, and he actually during the interview, to kind of illustrate his point, produced a gun. And not in a threatening way, but obviously when you're in it, you don't quite know what the way is, really. So
show and tell?
Yeah, it was the ultimate show and tell. But he was a young guy, very exercised about his friends being killed, and he'd joined a gang to protect. And just to get an insight into him and sort of look him in the eye and try to ask him, like, basically quite tough questions while he held the gun. Like, I felt God's presence in that, because I was able to keep going, ask the questions, but also like really try to understand. Like, I felt really connected with his story and why he was in the position he was. It felt zero judgment, because I completely understood the journey. And like, he had killed people, and not to take any of that lightly at all, horrendous, but just an understanding of his backstory. And so in that moment, and being able to actually put his story out there in a way that hopefully increased understanding, but then also these young people coming home very charged up with what they had seen and experienced, going back into interface communities and saying, we want our generation to be different than the generation before. You know, there's a lot of silence around paramilitaries, and you know, it's easy to just go along with the status quo, but these young women were basically saying, I want to be a difference. This is not okay. I have friends who are still being who are suffering paramilitary attacks, and I want to be somebody who puts myself out there and says, you know, no, this is time to make a change. So that trip for me, you know, basically, you know, just in every way, that excites me, because it's like, How are we going to do things differently? We'll hear people and stories that are breaking the mould and are actually breaking a silence. It's very difficult for somebody to say that on camera, where adults won't, you know, not that they were 17, 18, but they're, you know, older people would struggle to do that potentially, and they chose to be brave. So, you know, trips like that. And I'm also thinking of another moment where there were a group of women from interface communities, you'll see the theme, who went to New York, and they were all there as part of a group who were, again, looking at how their voices could speak out against the injustices in their own community. And again, paramilitary gangs, and I went over with them and filmed their experiences of actually them addressing UN delegates, which was phenomenal. So any story like that where it's courage and it's costing somebody something, like, I'll never take that for granted. And I also think every time somebody does something like that, that's going to make a difference here, you know.
See, if you grew up in Northern Ireland, you grew up with certain narratives that get played over and over again, and because we're here, we're so familiar with them. You know, nothing ever changes. These politicians are useless. There's nobody worth voting for. You know, this part of the city's a jungle. All that. In this particular moment, Jude, what stories in Northern Ireland are really worth telling Because you have a unique perspective on that, I think.
I think it's the most interesting moment, and, you know, everything feels at sea for some people within it all. There's been unsettlement, there's been anger and pain within some communities. You know, you've a lot of politics going on that makes this point really confusing for people and exciting for others. So I think it's such an important moment for people to be awake to it and mm-hmm. not just repeat the cliche of, oh yeah, this place, it just sure. it spirals out of control, it doesn't know what to do. You know, I think we need to really take seriously where we're at. And so I think it's important to be awake to the dynamics of it, to listen to people who are hurting within mm-hmm. it all and not be dismissive of that, and listen to those who want a different way as well. It's something I'm really thinking about because I have, as Gareth said, taken time out of work at the minute, 6 month career break, and I'm setting up a podcast that is really trying to amplify the voices of people who are still battling on to make peace and to mm-hmm. try and bring about a more reconciled society. And I think that's so important in this juncture, because if we look at even the recent riots mm-hmm. And a lot of the unrest within loyalism specifically, I think even in chatting to people within my own kind of world, there are people that's maybe been a bit of a wake-up call, where they're saying, oh, we kind of thought things were kind of ticking over okay, but then this happens. And peace and reconciliation can seem like very sort of worthy concepts. People go, oh, very nice. But actually, I think in these moments, we have to realise what we have and sort of think, what do we want to have? And, you know, it's very easy to focus on causes all over the world. But what about lives of young people in interface communities who suffer deprivation, yeah. who many people do feel left behind? And that is as a result of how peace has been administered here. So mm-hmm. I suppose my aim in it all is, OK, here are the people who are actually pushing on with peace, because they've something to say to us. What's their energy? What keeps them going when it, you know, it feels like Groundhog mm-hmm. Day and they're going, oh, here we go again. But yet they go again. Yeah. So learning from those voices and gaining understanding from different communities, so that we all have a responsibility to understand each other, you know. Mm-hmm. So this podcast is kind of my I'm giving that a go to try to listen to that and hope that it sparks conversations and understanding.
What's it called?
I was wondering, to have you a name?
Oh, I wish I hadn't asked that. It's under debate. So I've got a name I really like, but I'm also chatting to other people who have other ideas. So okay. I can't do any reveal on that.
Okay,
I do feel quite wedded to one name. So I hope it wins.
Greenways, let's just watch this space. Whenever it comes out, we will plug it and you will hear about it and you'll want to check that out. Definitely.
And just to say, I love your name, because I'm a big fan of the Greenway, living in this patch of the city and wandering endlessly up and down it and seeing you guys probably running past me while I'm just
sweating profusely.
But yeah, good call with your name.
Listen, I love your answer to that though. Again, that ripple, this is something I hadn't even thought of in preparation for this, but sitting listening to you talk, this idea of journalism being a table of hospitality, bringing different voices and having them shared. And okay, you're not necessarily having 3-4 people together sharing different stories, but you're sharing a story, putting it out there, It can only be a good thing. It can only raise empathy. It can only raise understanding. So we want to bless you with that and encourage you with that. I think it's class.
Thank you.
I have one last question. I'm sure Johnny's 2 or 3 more up his sleeve, but I have one last question for you. There is a perception out there at times that journalists simply want a good story, because careers are built on good stories. But, and I'm not saying it's true or not, but there can be a perception of that. When you're with somebody, and maybe with somebody who's been through an incredibly painful experience, you shared earlier about, you know, being with people in moments of loss and sharing their story, what is your heart for that person?
I love this question, because I do think that is the perception that is out there, and it's perception that is fueled by, obviously, when journalism does go wrong, and mm-hmm. that has very much been in the headlines this week. But I always remember someone challenging me and saying, journalists are only there to extract people's stories. And it really lodged with me. And when I analysed why, it's because I realised actually, like, I want to do the opposite of that. I want to listen to someone's story and see it, that they are honouring me by telling that story, like they don't have to. And so my concept and vision kind of is that the story, when it comes back to them, it's like a gift to them to say, I've listened, I've heard, this is what I see, this is the humanity I see in your story, and I hope that you feel that you see yourself in that and recognise that and feel that. And obviously that sounds airy-fairy, and in some situations of trauma, that's not going to be the first thought in someone's mind. But I think if that's how I go into it and just treat people with dignity, then hopefully that is what will come across. And obviously there is a time where, you know, a time to challenge power, and, you know, that's not to take away from all of those aspects of journalism, which are so important. But on a human to human level, when it is just somebody choosing to share, then I'll want to give them all the dignity and for them to feel that when they listen or watch it.
To me, it's like the kingdom's all over that. Like, we would use different, we talked about this earlier, we would use different language, but as a minister, that sounds like listening well. It almost sounds like pastoral care. It's loving the person well and allowing them to be heard. And I know you'd use different language, but I can see God's hand all over that as you share that.
Thank you.
It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we should pray. I think we should pray first, because the only questions I have up the lost and found sleeve are more flippant.
Are you wearing a lost and found top?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I got one in the post. I tried to buy one in the shop, but they didn't have my size. Maybe some of our listeners are availing of the Greenways discount.
There we go. Which wasn't actually true.
No, it doesn't work.
Yeah. But we made that up. That wasn't from David M. Yeah. We made that up.
Do you want to pray? And then,
do you want me to pray?
I'll ask the more flippant questions.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for every ear that is listening today. We thank you for a story that has been shared today. And we thank you for Jude, who has given her life to listening well and to sharing people's stories, allowing truth to be brought forward, allowing the marginalized to be heard, to reflecting your heart, Lord, into her vocation and treating people with kindness and dignity. And as they talk and share their story, to experience an element of healing. We pray, Lord, for her in this new venture with the Great Unnamed podcast, as she collects and shares stories of reconciliation and hope in what is still a contested and difficult society, sometimes just under the carpet and out of eyesight for most of us. And I pray, Lord, continue to work through her. Mm-hmm. Allow her to be guided to the people whose stories need to be told. And may their stories not only, sharing the stories may not only bring healing to them, but bring inspiration to all of us and challenge to all of us. Because we do pray for peace in this country, especially as we move into July. Mm-hmm. And we know the amount of tension out there in our community at the minute. And Father, we pray for all of the Greenways listeners. We pray, Lord, that you will pour your spirit into us and enable us to be a people who listen well. And in listening, to reflect your kingdom and your love into the lives of the people in front of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can you call it the Great Unnamed Podcast?
It resonated with me when you said that.
I mean, you think that was prophetic, do you?
It would spark curiosity. You'd be like, well, no. Yeah, maybe.
The Great Unnamed Podcast.
It would go through the roof in Spotify in terms of ratings.
Okay, this needs to happen.
Can you also tell us something about Rick that he wouldn't want us to know?
Oh, yes. What a good question.
You see, you should have put this on the pre-interview list.
Something from childhood.
all I can think of is an argument where we were like tussling over some sort of toy, and I basically decided to like slightly let go strategically, and Rick may have sort of gone slightly out of window. So that's not out of window. But yeah, it was a downstairs window. So and
it's still a window.
Weirdly, I said this to my mum recently, my mum and dad, and they didn't remember it. So now I'm going, have I made this whole story up? But Rick and me both remember it. So yeah, Rick's like my wee big brother. So yeah, a lot of love. And I'm annoyed now I haven't really got story to take him down with.
we love Rick, so we do as well. So yeah, it's good.
What's your favourite takeaway?
Ooh, Asian, like probably like some sort of Thai, like katsu type curry, that's cool. something like that.
Katsu. Big Thai fans.
Big fan
katsu.
Of that.
There you go. And then that's on the list for the weekend.
Jude, can you close us out just by doing the weekend line?
Oh, absolute setup. Guys, have a great weekend and a lovely weekend.
Love it.
Perfect.
Greenways listeners, we will see you all soon. Jude, thank you so much for coming on, giving us your time.
Thank you so much. We're looking forward to great thing, so thank you.
And we're looking forward to hearing your podcast.
Thank you.
Take care.
Cheers.
Well, that was really good fun. And just wonderful to interview Jude Hill. Before we say anything profound, Gareth, to reflect on that or sum it up, you must have noticed Jude's extraordinary matching shell suit.
I did not know that shell suits were back in fashion, but she was rocking it.
Yeah, with matching trainers.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
So, Jude is the most fashionable guest that we've had on so far. I'm guessing you enjoyed that interview as much as I did.
I think Jude's amazing. I love what she does in her vocational space. I love her heart for people and for their stories, especially the vulnerable, the marginalised. I just see her carrying the kingdom into every space she goes into. And to hear her share that today was such a treat.
She's a very kind of non-anxious presence, isn't she?
Totally
like,
chilled.
Just very...
And doesn't take herself too seriously, which I quite like.
To be fair, I suppose she does work with like microphones and all of this kind of stuff for a living. But
this is it. Was way less nervous than we were.
Yeah. 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 But here, what a good sport as well. Like, just really good fun.
Yeah, brilliant.
So there you go. I've reached the end of my agenda for today.
Okay. Well, all we have to say is we are back in 2 weeks' time with a lead-in episode with no other than Priscilla Reid.
Mm-hmm. And you're flying the plane solo this time, guys.
I know, because you've double booked yourself.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Yep.
But Priscilla's going to be sharing on the prophetic and what it is to cultivate an awareness of God's presence and his voice in every vocational space where you move and lead. So that's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to miss it.
With everyone's second favourite Greenways podcast host. Wonderful. We look forward to that. We'll see you very soon.
I just realised you insulted me there. Guys, we will see you soon. Have a great fortnight. Be blessed.
Yes. Bless you. Bye-bye.